So after mentioning the stories of the people of Nuh alayhi salam, the people of Hud alayhi salam, the people of Salih alayhi salam, and then the people of Lut alayhi salam, and then the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَمَا أَرُسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ, and we did not send in any city, in any town, مِن نَبِيٍّ, any prophet at all, إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا, except that we seized its people. With what? بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, with poverty and hardship. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ, so that they might humble themselves to Allah. Now in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers that in the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent many prophets. And what happened? There was no people whom Allah sent a prophet to. وَمَا أَرُسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَبِيٍّ, there was never a town to which Allah sent a prophet, except that when the people disbelieved, what happened? أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, we seized its people with poverty and hardship. So what is understood is, what is implied is that when the people disbelieved, then we seized them with بَأْسَاء and ضَرَّاء. So what is mentioned above of the different prophets and their nations, Nuh alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, these are just a few examples. This is not an exhaustive list of all the prophets and all the nations. No, there are many prophets whose stories Allah has not mentioned to you. But in general, this is what happened. Allah sent a prophet, people denied, and then people were seized with hardship of various kinds before they were punished. And how is it that they were seized with hardship? بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. بَأْسَاء, as you know, is poverty, adversity in one's circumstances. All right, فِي غَيْرِ نَفْسِهِ. Like, for example, you know, a person is tested in their wealth or through their family or their house, etc. And ضَرَّاء is illness, okay, hardship, hard times. This is in فِي بَدَنِهِ, meaning a person is tested in their body, right, through disease, etc. So بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. And why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in different types of hardship? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ, so that they would humble themselves. ضَرَّعِينَ, they would implore, they would beseech, they would supplicate and invoke Allah. They would cry before Him, they would repent to Him, they would turn back to Him, they would leave their arrogance. Because what turns many people to Allah is their neediness, right? So this is the way of Allah with His creation, that He puts people in hardship. Why? So that they make their way back to Him. In Surah Al-Sajda, Ayah 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, that we will certainly make them taste minor punishment before the major punishment, in order that they may return. So this shows us that hardships are warnings. They are wake-up calls. When a person is tested in their body through illness, disease, or through poverty, through hardship in their circumstances, in their family, these are what? Warnings and wake-up calls. In Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَقَدْ أَرُسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ, that we certainly sent messengers before you to different nations, to different communities, and when they denied, when these people denied their messengers, what happened? We seized them with بَأْسَاء and ضَرَّاء in order that they may humble themselves. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Ayah 43 of Surah Al-An'am that فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا, then why is it that when our punishment came to them, they did not humble themselves? Why did they not do that? وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, but their hearts became hard. In Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 130, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ بِالسِّنِينَ, we certainly seized the people of Fir'aun with years of hardship, famine, وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ, and shortage of fruits. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ, in order that they may take lesson. So every time that Allah sent a prophet to a people, when the people disbelieved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seized them with different types of hardship. Why? So that they would wake up. They would humble themselves before Allah. They would turn back to Allah. So there are those who benefit from these hardships and they wake up. And then there are the majority of the people who do not. They only increase in misguidance upon misguidance. Then what happens? ثُمَّ بَدَّلْنَا مَكَانَ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةَ. Then we exchanged, in place of the bad condition, the good. ثُمَّ بَدَّلْنَا. بَدَّلَ, بَدَّلَمْ, تَبْدِيل is to change or to replace one thing with another. So we changed, in place of the evil, the good. Meaning we replaced the evil with the good. Meaning when people do not take heed from the hardships that they're afflicted with, and they insist on their kufr, their wrongdoing, then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces their evil condition with a good condition. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces their hardship with ease. Remember ba'sa and darra? Ba'sa, darra, go away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes their fear and gives them security. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes their poverty and gives them wealth. He removes their neediness and gives them independence. He removes their weakness and gives them power. He removes their hardship and gives them ease. He removes their illness, their disease, and gives them health. The ba'sa and darra go away and their condition improves. After bad times, they have good times. They were previously suffering from hunger and loss and illness and defeat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes all of that and replaces it with wealth and health and victory and power and might. حَتَّى عَفَوْا, until they increased. عَفَوْا, عَيْن فَاوَاوْ, meaning until they prospered, grew and multiplied. عَفَى is the increase and abundance of something. Okay, like for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَعْفُ الْلِحْيَةِ, meaning let the beards grow, meaning don't trim, don't cut it. Okay, this is what he said to the men. But majority of the men, Muslim men, you see that either they don't keep a beard, or if they keep a beard, they keep it so short that it's contrary to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway, hatta afaw, until they prospered. Okay, meaning their wealth increased, their numbers increased, their lifetimes increased, their children, hatta afaw. So you see what's happening. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a prophet. People disbelieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts them in hard times so that they take lesson and turn back to Allah. When they don't, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces their hard times with good times until they increase in their wealth and their health and their power. Wow. Why is it that bad is replaced with good? This is another form of ibtila. This is another way of testing people. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people with hardship and also with ease. Right? Because hardship causes people to break down and become humble before Allah. Right? But then there are people who, when they have so many blessings, right? Blessings, good things, cause them to remember Allah and turn to Allah in gratitude. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gave them blessings. Why? So that they would do shukr. Okay? This is similar to how Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed, وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Provide them with fruit so that they are grateful. Because some people find their way back to God. How? Through gratitude. Alright? So, ثُمَّ بَدَّلْنَا مَكَانَ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةَ حَتَّى عَفَوْ. Or, the reason why hardships were replaced with blessings is because this is a form of istidraj. And you're familiar with istidraj, we have studied about it before, which is basically that in spite of a person's evil actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them ease in this world, alright? And because of that, they continue in their evil, they increase in their evil. وَقَالُوا قَدْ مَسَّ أَبَاءَنَا الضَّرَّاءُ وَالسَّرَّاءُ. And they said, in fact, our forefathers were also touched by hardship and prosperity. meaning they did not attribute the change of their condition to the favor of Allah. They did not say that Allah is the one who removed the hardship from us, that Allah is the one who changed our condition, that Allah is the one who brought us out of difficulty. No, like Fir'aun, فَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْحَسَنَةُ قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِي, that when something good would reach them in through the years of famine or after famine, they would say, yeah, we deserve this. It's about time. So basically, they did not do shukr. In hard times, they did not humble themselves. And in ease and plenty, they did not show gratitude. So neither trials, any difficulties humbled them, nor did blessings and ease make them grateful. So basically, they did not believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them go through different conditions, all right, made them experience different types of things. Why? So that they turn back to Allah. But nothing affected them. Not hardships and not ease. And they did not believe. And they said that قَدْ مَسَّ أَبَاءَنَا الضَّرَّاءُ وَالسَّرَّاءُ, that the change of circumstances from bad to good and good to bad is something normal. This is just something that happened to our forefathers also. They attributed all of this to natural events. That, oh, history repeats itself. This is nothing new. So they didn't take difficulties as a warning from Allah, all right? Nor did they take ease and plenty as a favor from Allah, okay? There was no introspection whatsoever. They did not believe, they did not thank Allah, they did not change their ways. And when people don't think like this, then what happens? They continue on in their evil choices. So then they used all they had in further disbelief, oppression, injustice, and then they became fully deserving of Allah's punishment. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً, so we seized them suddenly, without any warning, when they least expected it, on account of their affluence and security and strength. Suddenly they were seized. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and they did not even perceive. In Surah Al-An'am, ayah 44 and 45, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ, when they forgot what they were reminded of, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, we opened up to them the gates of everything. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا, until they rejoiced with what they had been given, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً, we seized them suddenly. فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, Allah says in the next ayah that the root of those who disbelieved was cut off, meaning then they were completely exterminated. So we see here that those who disbelieve do not benefit from the difficulties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts them through, nor do they benefit from the ease and the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts them in. In contrast, those who believe, what happens to them? Trials become a means of purification and reward and martyrdom. Why? Because they believe in Allah, they humble themselves before Allah, they put their trust in Allah, they're always pleased with Him. And for the believers, blessings also become a means of drawing close to Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said that amazing is the affair of the believer, and verily all of his affair is good. Meaning, whether he is in ease or in hardship, his matter is good. And this is only for the believer. Why? Because when he's in difficulty, he's patient, and that patience is good for him. And when he is touched by something good, then he is grateful, and that gratitude is good for him. So the believer is patient in times of difficulty for the sake of Allah, and grateful in times of ease and blessing. But those who disbelieve, they are not affected by their changing circumstances. They'd never humble themselves before Allah. They never turn back to Allah. And then they become fully deserving of the punishment of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ, and if only, meaning, and if only it were the case that أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَى, that the people of the towns, آمَنُوا, had believed, وَاتَّقَوْا, and had adopted taqwa. Meaning, if only, الْقُرَى, plural of قَرْيَة, if only the people of the various towns had believed in who? In the messengers who were sent to them, and وَاتَّقَوْا, they adopted taqwa of Allah, meaning they refrained from what they were forbidden, then what would happen? Would they lose out on worldly gains? No. لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We would have opened up for them the blessings from the sky and the earth. لَفَتَحْنَا. فَتَحْنَا from فَتَحَ. To open. You know, open something that is closed, to remove an obstacle. Right? So, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ, meaning we would have opened the floodgates for them. And what would come forth? بَرَكَاتٍ. Blessings. Not just baraka, but barakat. From where? From the sky and the earth. From above and below. Subhanallah. If only they had believed, then they would have received so many blessings from Allah. This is similar to like how Nuh alayhi salam said to his people, that فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. This is in Surah Nuh, ayah 10 and 11. He said to them that, seek forgiveness from your Lord. Indeed, He is extremely forgiving. يُرُسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. If you seek forgiveness, what will happen? Your Lord will send on you the sky, midrara, with abundant rain. So blessings from the sky. وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And He will reinforce you with wealth and children. And He, from the earth. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. He will make for you gardens and He will make for you rivers. Because Allah's favors are great. In Surah Al-Jinn, ayah number 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلْ لَوْ إِسْتَقَامُوا عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا. If only they had remained firm on the path, meaning they had corrected themselves according to the path of Allah, then what would happen? لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا. We would have given them to drink abundant water. So this teaches us that rizq expands how? With the taqwa of Allah, with iman and taqwa. In Surah Al-Talaq, ayah 2 and 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah makes a way out for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And then Allah provides for him from where the person does not even expect. But did these people believe? No. Allah says, وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا. But they belied. They belied the messengers who were sent to them, the evidences that were shown to them, the signs that were given to them, the miracles. They denied it all. They neither believed nor feared God. So what happened? فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ. So we seized them. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Because of what they used to earn. Meaning because of the sins that they used to commit, they became deserving of the punishment of Allah. And they lost everything that they enjoyed. And not only did they not acquire further blessings, they also lost what they had. And they suffered great punishment. Allah tells us in Surah An-Naml, ayah 52, فَتِلْكَ بُيُوتُهُمْ خَاوِيَةً بِمَا ظَلَمُوا. So here are their homes, empty, desolate. Why? Because they did wrong. SubhanAllah. Now there's a question. Why is it then? And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if the people had believed and had adopted taqwa, we would have opened up to them the blessings from the sky and the earth, then why is it that there are people who do believe, who do have taqwa of Allah, but trials continue to remain with them? They only appear to be tested from above and from below. Hardships surround them. Hardships never leave them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very clear that He will test the believers. Right? He will test the believers. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. This world is a place of trials. And the best of all human beings, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would spend days hungry. So hungry that he would have to tie a rock to his stomach. And not just that, in the night he would, you know, keep tossing and turning out of hunger. So why? Why are the believers tested so severely? For رَفْعُ الدَّرَجَاتِ. In order that Allah may increase them in their ranks. This is purification and also increase in their ranks. And بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ doesn't mean that they will always be in abundant worldly blessings, any material blessings. Barakah is not just in the form of material blessing. Barakah is what? Divine blessing in something. Barakah is not just about having a lot of food. Barakah, it's a sign that there's divine blessing somewhere, divine aid somewhere. So yes, a person doesn't have food, but he has shukr. He has iman. He has rida. And rida is much better than food. لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And for the believer, the tests and trials, even though they may appear to go on for very long, they're temporary. They're temporary. And sabr is just about waiting for them to be over and expecting good return from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions, أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ. Then do the people of the cities feel secure? Have they become secure? أَفَأَمِنَ أَمِنَ from Hamza Mim Noon. Aman is security, and Amina means to be secure or to feel secure. Here it means that, do they think that they are secure? Which people? Which Ahlul Qura? Those who denied. What do they feel secure from? أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا, that our punishment comes to them. When? Bayatan, by night. وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ, while they're asleep. نَائِمُونَ, plural of نَائِم. Meaning the punishment of Allah can come on them while they sleep peacefully in the comforts of their homes, of their beds. How many people there are who die in their sleep? How many people there are who get struck by earthquakes or something like that in the middle of the night? So these people who disbelieve in Allah, who commit oppression, how do they sleep at night so peacefully? Do they think they're secure against the punishment of Allah? You think Allah will not punish them? أَوَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا الضُّحَنْ وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ. Or did the people of the cities feel secure from our punishment coming to them in the morning while they were at play? Duha is the time of early morning, okay, when the sun has fully risen. So after the sun has fully risen, that is when duha begins, right? About 10 or 15 minutes after sunrise, the sun is up in the horizon, and then slowly, gradually, the heat begins to spread up until the time of dhuhr. This is duha. So at that time, when people are busy playing, having fun, going about here, there, so this question is being asked out of amazement, that do they feel secure that our punishment cannot come to them at that time? Meaning, do people not fear the punishment of Allah? First, the night is mentioned, and then the day is mentioned. First, sleep is mentioned, and then play is mentioned. Complete opposite conditions. Which means that the punishment of Allah can come at any point in time. It doesn't matter what condition one is in, how busy they are, or how worry-free they are. Astaghfirullah. And especially, sleep and play are mentioned. Because when asleep and when playing, at that time, people do not expect any kind of harm, right? Like children, no worries, no fears. Their only concern is the play that they're preoccupied with, or they're so deep in their sleep that they have no idea about what's happening around them. So this is a threat. In these verses is a threat that how could they feel secure? The punishment of Allah can come to them at any time. أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ. Then do they feel secure from the plot of Allah? How do they feel secure from the plot of Allah? What defense do they have? What plan do they have? They think they're secure? This is delusional. They're not secure. Because فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ. None feel secure from the plot of Allah إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, except the losing people. Now what is مَكْرَ اللَّهِ? مَكْر is a plot to harm someone. And makr Allah refers to the plan of Allah to punish people from where they do not even expect. Okay? The plan of Allah to punish people from where? From where they do not even expect. And this is essentially istidraj, that a person is surrounded in the comforts of life, different blessings. They have a sense of security. They don't think about death. They don't think about any, consequences for their crimes, because they feel so secure given what they have, and suddenly the punishment of Allah comes. So who feels secure from the punishment of Allah? Those who will end up as losers. Why? Because they don't fear the punishment of Allah. And so they continue on in their evil, And suddenly they're caught and they end up losing everything. What these verses teach us is that we should never feel secure from the punishment of Allah. Even if we believe, even when we're striving to do things that are pleasing to Allah, we should never feel a sense of absolute security. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ma'arij that إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the way of the musallin, those who are consistent in their prayers, that in verse number 27, that وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ, those who are fearful of the punishment of their Lord. Why? Because إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ, the punishment of their Lord is not something from which one can feel secure, because no one has guarantee against the punishment of Allah. No one has this guarantee that yes, you are certainly going to paradise and you are perfectly fine. And the one who feels secure is a loser. You see, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, many of them were given good news of paradise in their lifetime. Among them was, for example, Umar radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu would constantly ask Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu about the names of the hypocrites, because the Prophet ﷺ had told Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu about the hypocrites, about who the munafiqun were. So Umar radiallahu anhu would constantly ask Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu that, am I one of them? Am I one of them? Umar radiallahu anhu had been given good news of paradise. Still, he was afraid for himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his prophets in the Quran, and he says that they would call upon Allah raghaban wa rahaban, with hope and with fear. Any hope of what is with Allah, and fear, fear of what? Of the punishment of Allah. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was ill, and it was very clear that she would, you know, not survive that illness, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu came to see her. And he said that nothing left between you and your loved ones except just the soul leaving the body, meaning rejoice. That if you feel death is near, then rejoice, because that means that you are just going to meet your loved ones. And he went on, he said, you were the most beloved wife to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he only liked what was good and pure. So if he loved you, that means that you are good. And he went on praising her, that look, your necklace broke and fell, and a part of the Quran was revealed because of you. And there is no masjid of the Muslims except that Quran is recited there, and people recite verses that mention your innocence. And he went on praising her, and Aisha radiallahu anha said, Da'ni, Da'ni, meaning, stop it, save me from your praises, O Ibn Abbas. فَوَاللَّهِ لَوَدِدْتُ أَنِّي كُنْتُ نَسِيًا مَنْسِيًّا, because by Allah, I only wish that I was someone forgotten and unknown. Aisha radiallahu anha, this is how much she feared Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu, and there are so many companions who are like this, about whom we learned that at their deathbed, when people would console them and comfort them and, you know, give them good news so that they would increase in their hope, yes, they would have hope, but they also feared Allah. And this is how we need to feel, combine hope with fear. Because those who become fearless end up as losers. فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Hasan al-Basri said that the believer performs the acts of worship all the while feeling fear. And when a believer does something good, he's worshipping Allah, he's fearful of Allah, he's afraid. And the fajr commits acts of disobedience while feeling safe. And he's committing sin and he feels safe at the same time. And those who feel safe, secure against the punishment of Allah, such people are truly the losers. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has said that by my honor, I will not combine from my servant two securities nor two fears. What does that mean? That means that a person cannot have two securities, and likewise a person cannot have two fears. What are the two securities and what are the two fears? He said, if he feels secure from me in this world, I will make him fearful on the day that I gather my slaves. If a person feels aman in this world, against the punishment of Allah. He feels, yeah, I'm good. No punishment for me. Everything's great. I don't need to worry. If a person feels secure, lives life without feeling any fear of God, then what's going to happen? On the day of judgment, this person will be filled with fear. And if he fears me in this world, then I will make him secure on the day that I gather my slaves. So it's either fear here and security on the day of judgment, or feeling delusional and secure in this world and being filled with fear on the day of judgment. This is a hadith. So always remain in fear in this world. فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَهْدِ لِلَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَهْلِهَا. أَوَلَمْ يَهْدِ. And has it not become clear, لِلَّذِينَ, to the people who, which people, يَرِثُونَ الْأَرْضَ, who have inherited the land. When? مِنْ بَعْدِ أَهْلِهَا, after its previous inhabitants. أَلَّوْ نَشَاءُ, that if we wanted, أَصَبْنَاهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ, we can strike them because of their sins. Meaning, have the people who currently inhabit the earth, do they not reflect? Do they not see how the people of Nuh alayhi salam were destroyed and the people of Hud alayhi salam came? And then after that, they were destroyed. And then came the people of Salih alayhi salam. They were destroyed. And there came the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam. And so on and so forth. And now they have inherited the same earth, the same lands, perhaps the same houses and cars, and people before them have gone. So don't they take heed? Do they think they're going to live in this world forever? In Surah Taha, Ayah 128, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَمْ يَهْدِ لَهُمْ, has it not become clear to them, كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونَ, how many a town we have destroyed before them? يَمْشُونَ فِي مَسَاكِنِهِمْ, they walk within their homes. Do they not take a lesson? It's amazing how people will, you know, admire ancient houses, antique things, and you know, they say things like, oh, it's got so much character and so much this and so much that. Who made it? Who were the previous owners? Where are they now? Where are they now? They're gone. You think you're going to stay here forever? Don't you take heed from the fact that nobody lives in this world forever? In Surah Maryam, Ayah 98, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. How many a town before them have we destroyed? How many a generation before them have we destroyed? Do you hear any of them? Do you sense any of them? No, they're gone completely. So don't they take heed? أَلَّوْ نَشَاءُ أَصَبْنَاهُمْ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. We can strike them, we can punish them for their sins. How do they feel secure disobeying Allah on the land of Allah? The same land where people before walked, and now they're no longer here. وَنَطُبَعُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. Do they not fear that we can set a seal on their hearts and then they will not be able to hear? Or وَنَطُبَعُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, this is their present condition, that yes, they do not take heed, because the fact is that we have set a seal on their hearts, which is why they don't hear. So وَنَطُبَعُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ, this is either a threat, or this is describing the condition of the people who inhabit the earth, that they do not take lesson from the fact that so many generations before them have lived and gone. And they don't take lessons. So as a result of that, their hearts are sealed. And where hearts are sealed, they don't benefit from what they hear. فَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. You see, this is what happens when people don't take heed, right? When they choose deviation, then yes, their hearts are deviated. Allah says, تِلْكَ الْقُرَى نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَائِهَا. تِلْكَ الْقُرَى, those towns, plural of قَرْيَةَ. نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ, we recount to you, مِنْ أَنْبَائِهَا, some of their news. We relate to you some of their أَنْبَاء, plural of نَبَأ. So, these past nations, we have related to you some of their news. Not all, just some. Why? نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ, we recount to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why have we related to you some of their news? In order to console you, in order to strengthen your heart. That look at how the prophets conveyed to their people. And look at how The good outcome is always for those who believe. And look at how, no matter how mighty and how oppressive the deniers become, eventually they become losers. So hold on, be strong. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ And certainly their messengers came to them with the clear proofs. Meaning Allah did not wrong them by punishing them. Allah actually favored them by sending His messengers to them, by sending clear proofs to them. But these people chose to disbelieve. فَمَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا But they would never believe. Meaning no matter what proofs they were given, what signs they were shown, they would never believe. Why? بِمَا كَذَّبُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ Because they denied before. What does that mean? This means a number of things. The first interpretation is that this means that the coming of the messengers made no difference to them. Okay? Meaning Allah sent the messengers, but the coming of the messengers made no difference to these people. Nothing that the messengers brought affected them. And these people remained as they were before. فَمَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا بِمَا كَذَّبُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ Another interpretation is that even if they were given another chance, they would not believe. Okay? And yes, these people, Allah sent them prophets, they denied, and then they were punished. Well, what if they were given another chance? No. Even if they were returned to the world after their destruction, they would still not believe. They would do exactly the same as they did before. As in Surah Al-An'am, ayah 28, Allah says, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَنُهُ عَنْهُ Even if they were returned to the world, they would repeat what they were prohibited from. Or فَمَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا بِمَا كَذَّبُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ means that even on seeing the miracles which they demanded, they still denied. Why? Because they denied before. They had decided to deny. Right? And the fact is that evidences and proofs do not benefit those who have decided to disbelieve, who have made up their mind that they're not going to believe. How often it happens that you see someone is being presented with clear evidences, but they don't change their mind. They still persist. Why? Is it that they don't see? Is it that they don't get it? No, they get it, but they don't want to believe. So, فَمَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا بِمَا كَذَّبُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ Allah says, كَذَلِكَ يَطُبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِ الْكَافِرِينَ Thus does Allah place a permanent seal upon the hearts of those who disbelieve. Meaning these are people whose hearts are sealed. So no good ever enters their hearts. And this is why it is the same whether you warn them or you do not warn them. They're never going to believe. So the fault is not yours. It's not that you are not conveying the message properly or you are not doing your job properly. No, you are doing your job. But it is these people. Their hearts are sealed because of their disbelief. Allah says, وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِأَكْثَرِهِمْ مِنْ عَهْدِ And we did not find for most of them, meaning for most of the people, مِنْ عَهْدٍ any covenant, meaning any adherence to the covenant. So majority of the people, may Allah not make us of this majority, may Allah make us of the minority. وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِأَكْثَرِهِمْ مِنْ عَهْدٍ Majority of the people violate the covenants that they make, especially the most important covenant. And what is that? The covenant with Allah, the Ahd al-Ast. They don't fulfill it. And so we see that everyone made a covenant with Allah, that yes, Allah, you are our Lord and we will worship you. But in the world, what happened? Majority of the people did not adhere to that covenant. They did not believe in Allah. They associated partners with Allah. They rejected the messengers of Allah. So they did not fulfill the covenant. Or Ahd over here can mean other covenants that they make with Allah. That when they're in hardship and they make promises with Allah, that, oh Allah, if you save us, we will believe in you. If you remove this hardship from us, we will believe in your messenger. Like Fir'aun would say, and like the mushrikeen of Makkah would do. In Surah Luqman, ayah 32, Allah tells us, وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعْوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ That when at sea they're covered by waves, waves that are huge like canopies, they call upon Allah sincerely. And when Allah saves them, فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ Then some of them are moderate in faith, meaning very few of them fulfill their covenant, but majority of them don't. So in hard times, people make promises with Allah that, oh Allah, if you rescue us, if you save us, we will believe, we will do this, we will do that. In Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 75, Allah mentions that among them is one who made a promise to Allah that, "Oh Allah, if you give us such and such wealth, then we will give charity and we will be of those who are righteous." But then what happens? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to them, then they break their promises. So, وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِأَكْثَرِهِمْ مِنْ عَهْدٍ. They fail to adhere to the covenant. And this is especially those who disbelieve. Those who disbelieve do not adhere to their promises. And if they break their covenants with Allah, you think they will remain honest with you? No way. وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِأَكْثَرِهِمْ مِنْ عَهْدٍ وَإِن وَجَدْنَا أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَفَاسِقِينَ. And indeed, we found most of them to be surely defiantly disobedient. Meaning they violate the promises they make with Allah and also with people. And fasiqeen over here can mean both disobedient and disbelieving. Meaning majority of the people disbelieve and disobey. May Allah make us off the minority. Let's listen to these verses.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ ثُمَّ بَدَّلْنَا مَكَانَ السَّيِّئَةِ الْحَسَنَةَ حَتَّى عَفَوْا وقالوا قد مس آباءنا الضراء والسراء فأخذناهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض ولكن كذبوا فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون أفأمن أهل القرى أن يأتيهم بأسنا بياتا وهم نائمون أوأمن أهل القرى أن يأتيهم بأسنا ضحى وهم يلعبون أفأمنوا مكر الله فلا يأمن مكر الله إلا القوم الخاسرون أولم يهد للذين يرثون الأرض من بعد أهلها أن لو نشاء أصبناهم بذنوبهم ونطبع على قلوبهم فهم لا يسمعون تلك القرى نقص عليك من أنبائها ولقد جاءتهم رسلهم بالبينات فما كانوا ليؤمنوا بما كذبوا من قبل كذلك يطبع الله على قلوب الكافرين وما وجدنا لأكثرهم من عهد وإن وجدنا أكثرهم لفاسقين